Okay, today I have a very interesting topic. The topic today is there an inyan to go to a cemetery and be mispalel by a kever, by a grave? Is there such a thing? Today, we're all familiar that we all go to a cemetery every so often and mispalel. Where does it come from? So the answer is that there's only one place in the Torah. Not two. One place, this week's parasha. It's a pasuk in this week's parasha that there is something to it. Okay, it's not just in Yoni Kabbalah. There's something really to going to a cemetery to be mispalel at the kever of a tzaddik. What's the pasuk? It's here, this week's parasha about the meraglim. There were 12 meraglim. They come to Eretz Yisrael. Vayalu, vayasudu es haaretz. They spy on the land from Midbar Tzin until Chamos. Vayalu vanegev, they went up to along the south. Vayavo ad Chevron. And now the pasuk should really say vayavo. They come plural, but it says vayavo loshen yoch. It's singular. So Rashi picks up on this difficulty. Why does it say vayavo ad Chevron? Rashi says, Kolev Levado. There were 12 spies. Yehoshua did not go. Yehoshua got a bracha from Moshe Rabbeinu that he should be spared from the evil plans of the Meraglim. But Kolev Ben Yefune did not receive a bracha. And Kolev was vulnerable. He could have been influenced by the ten evil spies. Vayavo Kolev Levado Holachsham. V'nishtateach al kivrei avos. Rashi is quoting the Gemara. He spread out on the graves of the avos. Chevron is the place of the Ars Machpelah, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leia. Shelo yenisas Adam Chava. Shelo yenisas lachaverov. Leia. That he should not be influenced. He should not be influenced by the meraglim. This is what Rashi tells us. We learn this is the only place in Chamishei Chumshei Torah. I know you're going to tell me Rachel Yaakov put up a matzeva, but it doesn't say the purpose of the matzeva. The only place where we find such a concept that a person is going to a kever, the grave of an ancestor, to be mispalel because something is wrong. There's trouble. The trouble, and what was the trouble? The trouble he was afraid that he would be influenced by bad friends. And bad chaverim will influence him to do an aveira, to speak lashon hara about Eretz Yisrael. So we find here such a makar. And indeed, this is a very, very big topic in halacha of going to a cemetery. In the Ramah, if I'm not mistaken, I'm just going to throw out a couple of ideas. I used three different sermons to prepare what I'm about to tell you. And I'm just a collection of short ideas relating to this inyan. And it appears that in Shulchan Aruch, in three places, the Ramah says there is an inyan to go to a cemetery to be mispalel. One of the 3 days of the year, Erev Rosh Hashanah, Erev Yom Kippur, and Tisha B'Av. These are the 3 days. On Tisha B'Av, there's something different than going on Erev Rosh Hashanah, Erev Yom Kippur. Tisha B'Av, it's lav dafka going to a Jewish cemetery. If you don't have a Jewish cemetery, you can even go to a non-Jewish cemetery. Because going to a cemetery is a humbling, it appears that going to a cemetery in Tisha B'Av has a different role. It's not to be mispalel in the zuchus of the tzaddikim, but rather it's to humble oneself, to realize that if we do not do tshuva, we will end up dead in the cemetery, just like the dead are found here. But there are three days a year when it's brought down that isn't.
Tisha B'Av, he said he went to clean up the cemetery as opposed to praying.
Who went to clean up the cemetery?
The neighbor of mine said that. I asked him. He said he was in the cemetery. Upstate somewhere to a Jewish cemetery. They were cleaning up the cemetery.
They chose the day to clean up. It's hard work. On the day you're fasting, you clean up the cemetery.
I'm just saying, strange. I never heard of that.
Okay, it's a very nice thing to do, but on Tisha B'Av, when you exert yourself to pray, the purpose is to go to a cemetery to be mispalel. To be mispalel in front of the kivrei tzedek. What is this all about? Now, first of all, let's touch upon the problem. Why would one be opposed to going to a cemetery? There's a pasuk that says one is not allowed to be doyresh el hamesim. Right? There's this nichosh. Going to a... There are different types of black magic that involve communicating with the dead. So the question is, why is going to a grave different than being doyresh el hamesim? So this is a very delicate balance between the two. The place where this really comes into play is in the Nusach HaTfilah and Slichos. Some of the Slichos we mention that we speak to Malachim. And we ask the Malachim, Malachai Rachamim, or Machnisei Rachamim, which seems that we're asking the Malachim to go to Shemayim and pray on our behalf. So there are two different opinions. So some of the Mefarshim are opposed to this Nusach. Because the only one that we are mispalel to is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When there's no such thing as being mispalel to a malach has absolutely no power on its own. So what does it mean then that if we speak to a malach and we ask the malach to bring our prayers before HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So it simply means we are fully aware that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hearing our prayers, but we want the malachim to assist or to look to mention our merits or to carry our merits or to silence the makatragim, the malachim that are presenting our faults. Okay, so there are difference of opinion if those parts of the tefillah should indeed be said. In some shuls, in the slichos, it's even in the ilah and on the slichos before Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah, they don't say those nuschos, those stanzas which mention where the malachim are bringing our tefillos before Kadosh Baruch Hu, or where we are requesting of the malachim to bring our tefillos. Now, the poskim say if that is true, it's also true by extension to people. Just like it's not so simple to ask a malach to go to Shemayim to Kadosh Baruch Hu and be mispal on your behalf, it's not proper to go to a cemetery and speak to the dead, the neshama, and say to the neshama, you go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu to spare me from harm. If you want to be spared from harm, you have a direct line. You yourself can speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there's obviously a problem. So what then are we doing when we go to a cemetery? So someone learned, of course, you're going to a cemetery and you're speaking directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but you're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the merit of these tzaddikim, of the zechus, of these righteous people, may you accept my prayer. You're not telling the dead, you should go to Shemayim and be mispal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to save me. I can take care of myself. I will be mispal. But I'm using you. I'm using your presence. I'm sitting in your presence to make HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in your merit, listen to my personal prayer. That's one approach. Are malachim allowed to pray for themselves? They can pray. We don't know anything about malachim. I mean,
they have to pray. They don't literally.
We don't know anything about malachim. Another example where this comes into play is on Friday night. Most of us probably say baruchuni l'shalom. He says shalom aleichem, and so you say may you malachim baruchuni, may you bless me. Malachim have a power to bless. Is that really so? There are many people that are very opposed to this nusach that you don't ask a malach to bless you. The one that blesses only Kadosh Baruch Hu, that should be omitted from the prayer. Likewise, you don't ever ask a person who's not living to be pray for you. You pray yourself in the merit of the tzaddik. That's one approach. However, not everyone agrees. Okay, I can't remember all the names, all the different places, all the different farshim, but not everyone. Some indeed hold and know that there is something to it. Malachim do have a power to pray on our behalf. If we have done a mitzvah, we are malachim created. We have a tradition that a malach is created from a person's mitzvah. So when you do a mitzvah, it's really you. It's part of you. I've done a mitzvah. By doing a mitzvah, I've created a malach. That malach now has an independent power. It can go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and pray on my behalf. Because after all, I'm the one that created the malach through my good deed. Likewise, when you go to a cemetery, you're coming near in the vicinity, we don't know what this means, of the mace of the neshama, and you're telling the neshama, I am in trouble, I need your help, do me a favor. You, the neshama, you, whatever this means in Shemayim, go to the Kisei HaKavod and make a request and pray on my behalf. You have your own merits, you understand things that I do not, and pray on my behalf. Indeed, we are instructing these neshamas to pray on our behalf. Another approach, this is a very interesting approach, is when a person comes to Shemayim and he's going to go before the Bezin HaGadol, who are the members of the Bezin HaGadol? When we stand in judgment, Are we going to be judged by Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov? Are we anywhere there? When they look at us, it's a joke. So a lot of the Mepharshim said this is that you only are judged by people who relate to you. People of your a judge, okay, a jury of your peers.
Yeah.
Okay, now that's not in America. Unfortunately, that means Asar Shakur and Ashuk. 10 people, anyone off the street. But there's such a concept. In Halacha, there appears to be such a concept, not any ordinary person off the street, but Rabbanim, Talmidei Chachamim of your generation who relate to you, who understand your nisyonos. So when a person comes to Shema Chameh V'yashim and he goes to the Beis Nagadol for Mishpat, for judgment, people who lived in your generation or live right before your generation who understand the nature of your nisyonos will be your judges. So when we go, this is a very novel idea, when you're going to the Kivrei Tzadikim, you know who you're really going to? You're going to the Dayanim, your own Dayanim. Fascinating. Because, okay, one thing, you go to a relative, but let's say you go to a Tzadik, you go to the Gedolei, the people that you recognize as being the great leaders of the generation before you. You have respect for these people. They're your Dayanim. They're the people that are going to sit in judgment. You're confessing to them. You're pouring out your heart because they have the power over what happens to you. Isn't that an amazing idea? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate authority. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Shemayim gives over Shlita to the Bez Din Shomayim. We do have such a concept. They're going to make the decision. So you're supplicating actually in front of the judge. You know, in America, we will hear every trials. The most important thing a judge wants to hear today in America is they want you to confess. They want you to show remorse. They want remorse. If you come before a judge and you're defiant and you plead, you're innocent and you have no remorse whatsoever, they'll put you away forever. There, you see over and over, you hear on the news what?
The mercy of the court.
That you hear over and over in the news, the judges and the jury in America are chalishing for the people to confess, to have remorse, to say, I'm sorry, I'm going to go for therapy, I'm never going to do it again. And that, to a very great degree, reduces people's sentences. Likewise, in Shemayim, if that's a Moshlim in the Havdalah, Elif Alfa Havdalahs, in Shemayim, the Dayanim, Shemayim also want to hear people have charata, remorse, and do tshuva. And when a person goes before tzaddikim who are going to serve and are serving as the Sanhedrin, the Bezin Shalmala, then it can, to some degree, have shlita. Another reason why we go to a cemetery is because it's a holy place. What does it mean? It's a holy place. In the place, just like we understand, you go to the Kosel. Is Hashem can hear your tefillah anywhere. Hashem can hear your tefillah when you're on the subway, when you're on the Q train, and it's jam packed, and you're surrounded by one side is Puerto Rican, and the other side is an African American, and in the front is someone from Mexico. You're surrounded on all sides, and you take out a tehillah and you mispalo. Hashem hears your tefillah just like He hears your tefillah when you're by the Kosel HaMaravi. There's no difference. Hashem hears your tefillah no matter where you are. However, there's something to going to the Kosel. When you're at the Kosel, you're in a mokayim of Hashos HaShchina, and there's more. It'll make more of an impression upon you. There's something to it. Likewise, going to a cemetery is a holy place. The reason why it's a holy place is because you're in a place where there are individuals. There are a collection of people upon whom the Shechina has rested when they were alive. Just like the Kosel HaMaravi was a place where the Shechina rested. Bizman Shebeis HaMidah Shekayim, the Shechina was tangible. It was there. The Shechina was there. Okay, the Shechina is not there today in 100%, but the Shechina is still there to a small degree. Tzaddikim were people upon whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu rested His Shechina in their lifetime. Although now they're no longer living, there is some small degree of Shechina that once rested upon these people. So going to a cemetery is like going to the Kosel HaMaravi. You're going to a mokayim that is kadosh, that is holy, and there's more possibility that they will put you in a frame of mind.
That's the key. That doesn't inspire you.
Both. It'll inspire you, and also there's something to it. There's something in being in a makam that's holy. Somehow opens up the channels of prayer. You have a greater connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so really, come. I think way to summarize. Very important to summarize. Four very different approaches to why you go to a cemetery. Number one, you're telling the dead, you, we're in trouble, you, the dead, you go and do something for us. You have power in Shemayim. Number two, I'm not telling you to do nothing for me because you have no power. I'm speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but in your zechus, you had nisyonos in your lifetime, and you only the zechus of those nisyonos HaKadosh Baruch Hu into my prayer. The third approach is the people that tzaddik, and then you're going to dig, and they're serving as the bez and shalmala, and they have been given authority by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Actually, their goyzer, if they decree that you should be spared, that's it. Hashem, tzaddik goyzer Hashem mekayim. They're the Sanhedrin. They're the bez, and they have power. And the fourth time is a makom that is a holy place. It's nothing more than a holy place, and it will inspire you to do tshuva. There's a fifth time. There's another reason I saw. It's not a new reason. There's a very big question in the Gemara. Do the dead know what's going on in this world? Do they know? Do our parents, our grandparents, do they know what's going on in this world? So the Gemara has a debate. The Gemara, it's not clear. The Gemara says maybe yeah, maybe not. The Gemara at one point says that they don't know what's going on, but when people die, they get updates.
What?
Updates. Well, every time a person dies, if a person today is Ahmed of Eshrim, he read the news today, he saw that in Eretz Yisrael they're putting in lechitzas in elevators, so they're going to go to Shemayim, and they're going to tell them, Shemayim, guess the new chumra, guess the latest chumra. They have now lechitzas in the elevators. The dead are getting updates from people who are leaving this world, and they report, they know that everyone knows someone, and they're reporting what's doing with people's family members. So one of the opinions he presents, and it's from that I saw, is that when a person is mispalel before a mace, the mace isn't, we don't know, no one knows. Okay, no one knows if the mace know, they do know, they don't know. But one approach is that the mace are not necessarily present at the kever at that moment, but the cemetery is a place where there's a communication to the other world. There's a portal.
It sounds
like some science fiction novel. A cemetery is a portal to the other world. It doesn't mean that every single dead body in the cemetery actually is present and is listening and is aware. The neshamos are busy with other things. We don't know what's going on there, but they're not hanging out in Queens. Okay, they're not hanging out at the Interboro to look at all the new cars and to compare license plate numbers. They're not doing that. That's not what they're doing. They're in Shemayim. But a cemetery is a portal to the other world. When a person comes and pours out his heart in a cemetery, there is a communication that is sent to the other world. And Mason family members become aware indirectly of what's going on. And if a person finds himself in an ace tsara, a family member in Shemayim will be informed through this portal and will be mispalel, will do something. This is like a, it's not a new idea of what you're doing. You're being mispalel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what you're doing at a cemetery. But you're being mispalel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a makom that is a portal to the next world. Through your tefillos indirectly, your relatives will find out. They'll find out quicker and faster than if you would be mispalel at home or in a Beis HaKnesses. It's all Beis HaKnesses, you mispalel. Do my relatives know what's going on in Shemayim? No, not necessarily. You go to a cemetery, you have the same exact tefillah, there's a portal. And in that portal, they're going to find out. And if they can help you, we don't know how these things work, possibly they can intercede, they can be mispalel, they can do something on your behalf.
There are all kinds of minhagim based on each reason. Some people have a minhag to take an invitation to come and to say, this is simcha happened, this is
that. Right, you speak to the mace.
According to this, that some people, you don't have to go to any specific cave. You can go
any
to
cemetery, exactly, any cemetery.
Otherwise, you might look for someone who had the biggest Messiah.
Right, exactly. Okay. For you, exactly.
So
the difference between tzaddikim, who you, right? Exactly. So there are many different approaches. And okay, and like you say, is it kedai to say this? Is it, you're supposed to read the matzeva. The mace should hear what it says about him. Because does the mace see what it says in the matzeva? We don't know.
It says somewhere, I think, that it's shikha.
No, it's a shikha if the letters stick out. Also, if the letters don't, then there's no inyan of shikha. Okay, let's go to some other.
Ben Habatseva.
Ben Habatseva. Sorry, but Yaakov. The only place where it does mention in the Torah is the Matseva.
They had Matsevas.
Yeah, I know, but in general, they didn't put up Matsevas. They just put
a tzeil. They put up a stone. They put up a stone. Yaakov and Rachel. Yaakov put a stone on Rachel's kever. Doesn't say that Yaakov wrote, Tol Nitzman. Rachel Imenu. He doesn't say that he did. He doesn't. There were no nuschos. What? Nikbara. Nitmina. Is it Nikbara or Nitman? Different. Nikbara, Nitman. No, it's not Nitmina. All right. Keep feminine. Okay, let's go to another idea. Now, there is a Gemara. Let me read you the Rambam. There's a shocking Rambam which everyone is busy with. All of the Mefarshim are busy with. The Rambam says, Rambam quotes the Gemara. Let me find the page. The Rambam quotes, it's a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says, Tani Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Tani, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Oimer. Ein oisin nefoshois la tzadikim. We do not make nefoshos. Nefoshos means a matseva. We do not make matsevos for tzadikim. Divrehem, their words, hein, hein, zichroinam. That's what it says in the Yerushalmi. Very fascinating. A tzadik dies, no matseva. Put him in the ground, cover the ground, finish zehu, nothing. No stones, no nothing. The fact that they are tzaddikim, their words that they leave over, their righteous deeds and their words, the things that they taught us, that will serve as a reminder. Now, what's the obvious question? What about Rachel Imenu? Rachel Imenu, Yaakov Avinu put a matzeva al kivurasa, he put a stone on her grave. Yaakov Avinu, he violated the Yerushalmi. Says Yerushalmi. Well, we're not going to say that Rachel Imenu was a tzaddikis. So there are different answers. Number one, we can say the stone that he put there was al pi hadibur. It was hayroa shah, because it was necessary for the those who went into Galus the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon, when they went into exile, they passed her grave, and when they saw the grave, they were mispalel, and when they were mispalel, so Rachel Imenu was mispalel Kadosh Baruch Hu, and in her zuchus, there's going to be a Bayis Shlishi. That might happen during the Bayis Rishon. There's going to be Bayis Sheni. There'll be a Gula. So it was Hayro Asha. And there's a shocking another interpretation, and you're not going to believe this. It says that Yaakov Avinu held that Rachel was not a tzadekes. Why not? Shocking, because the pasuk says Vatakane Rachel Bachoisa. Rachel was jealous of her sister. Leah had children. Rachel did not have children. Even though the jealousy was a jealousy of L'shem Shemayim, she was jealous of her good deeds. I'm reading what it says over here from who's he quoting? Rav Shlomo Kluger. I believe this is Rav Shlomo Kluger. Maybe I'm mistaken. Someone else. I think it's Rav Shlomo Kluger. Mikol Makoim, Kevan Shakadosh Baruch Hu Medaktek Im Hatzadikim Kichut Hasara Lechein Avur Hakina, because there was some degree of jealousy. Hera Yaakov Kiilu Chas V'Shalom Sheyia Gufa Kola. He was afraid that her body would decay. A tzaddik doesn't need a matzeva because the body doesn't decay. But if a person is jealous, a person is not a tzaddik, then the body decays. So you need to have a zecher. So the zecher is a matzeva. So he was afraid that since Rachel did exhibit signs of jealousy, and jealousy causes the body to decay, he was afraid her body would decay. Therefore, he had no choice but to put a matzeva al kavurasa.
Sarah didn't have children, she obviously she was jealous of
it. Doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that she was jealous. The fact the Torah expresses
she wanted children.
Maybe, but it does. She wanted children. Why did she want children? She wanted children to serve Hashem. She wanted to have children who would serve Hashem. That's a natural tendency. It says here something different by Rachel that does not say by the other emos. Rachel ba'achosa. And Chazal says she was jealous of her good deeds. She was jealous that Rachel had ma'isim toivim, and in the merit of those good deeds she had children. And Rachel felt that her deeds did not reach the good deeds of Leah. We don't understand what this means, but it explains, according to Avshalom Kluger, appears Avshalom Kluger saying, according to Avshalom Kluger, that's why Yaakov Avinu went and he put a matzeva al kivras. Because again, the issue that we're dealing with over here is a very bizarre Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says, tzaddikim do not need matzevos. There is no need to erect a stone upon the grave of a tzaddik. The reason why you put a stone on a grave is to remember them. Tzaddikim you anyway will naturally remember, so there's no need. Problem is, the Pharisha Pasuk in the Torah. Pasuk in the Torah says that there was a kever, there was a matzeva put on the grave of Rachel. Now what about the avos? So the avos, you can tell me, they didn't have stones. Avos they were put in a cave. Enochanami. Doesn't say anywhere that they were matzevos, elaborate matzevos. Say you go to the Maris Machpelah. They don't really know where. It's the whole thing is, everyone says it's a show. No one really knows who the avos are. Here is Yitzhak Avinu. Here is Aharon Avinu. And they have different days for the Arabs and for the Jews, and they have all these trade-offs. Really, this is this gate, and with this stone dome, that's where Yitzhak Avinu was buried. Well, everyone knows that's not so. There are tunnels and there are caves. Somewhere in the vicinity, we have Emunah, we have a Mesorah, and the avos are here somewhere in this neighborhood. But to go in a different sections and different days for the Arabs and for us, it's just a show.
Only for the crowd control.
Crowd control, politics. But the point is, it doesn't say anywhere that when Yaakov, that when the avos were buried, stones were erected upon their graves. They were put away in caves. The only weird place it says that a stone was erected was for Rachel. And the Yerushalmi says this is something that is not should be done. It's only done for people that are not tzaddikim. Tzaddikim, you don't need to do this. How could that mean that Rachel Avinu was not a tzaddikis? So again, the two answers are, it was Hoiro Asha. Hashem told him to do this, al pi adibur, because it will be necessary to know her exact location when Klal Yisrael will go into Golis. The second answer is because Yaakov Avinu felt it was a problem, being that there was a degree of jealousy. Okay, there's a third approach given, that it was for Shemira, that in the event you're afraid, since she was buried on the Derech, she was buried by Derech Afrasa, middle of nowhere, not in a formal cemetery, there is a danger that someone will come along and desecrate the grave. Will open up the ground and take the body, who knows and do what. So then the stone was meant for Shemira, was meant for protection. Or you can say it was meant for Shemira, that Kohanim, or people that were in Israel, Taras HaKodesh, should not come in contact with the dead. Okay. Now here is the problem. Okay, that's Rachel Imenu. Problem goes a step further. The Rambam, which was not so long ago, okay, how long ago did the Rambam live? 700, less than 1,000 years. Rambam.
He was born in 1135.
So 800 years ago. The Rambam paskins like the Yerushalmi. Okay, the Rambam very clearly says that you're not supposed to... The Ramban? We don't really know. There was a kever by the Maris Machpelah. When you come into the Maris Machpelah...
No, not in Israel, you know.
The Ramban. And when you go to Chevron, when you go to Chevron and you go up the steps to the right, there is a kever which they attribute. There's a whole matzeva. They say it's the Ramban, but no one knows for sure. There's other places. There are a few places. He's buried in a few places. I think there are three places where they choshe that this is where the Ramban is buried. But one of the popular places to go to Ramban is up a couple of steps to the right. All the way to the right is a kever for the Ramban. The Rambam is in Tveria. Rambam is a big matzeva. But what does the Rambam himself say? The Rambam himself paskins. The chayin pasak harambam. Okay, with the mem. Pilchus avel perigdal halachadal v'hat sadikim. Ein boinim lohem nefesh al kivar seim. B'divrei meim zichoynam. V'lo yifne adam levaker kivaros. Even goes further. A person should not go to visit a cemetery. The briskas, all the real heavy-duty briskas, they don't go to, they don't go to cemeteries. They don't go visit their own relatives. The exception was Rav Yosher Ber. Rav Yosher Ber used to go once a week, every day, to his wife's keder. And he said that, I know I'm breaking tradition. I'm breaking tradition with my family custom. The briskas are all heavy. They're true to the Rambam. And the Rambam says very clearly, V'lo yifne odom levaker kivaros. Don't go to cemeteries. Don't go to visit graves. So the Rambam says, pass like the Rishalmi. Nothing. Shulchan Aruch Ramah, that's why the Mechaber doesn't say it anywhere. The Mechaber is rubidu like the Rambam, and the Mechaber nowhere says you should go to a cemetery.
Everyone's,
it's only the Ramah.
Everyone's going to
the Ramah. That's the Ramah. The Ramah says you go three places, Erev Rosh Hashanah, Erev Yom Kippur, and the Ramah doesn't say to go in Elul. The Ramah says Erev Rosh Hashanah, Erev Yom Kippur, and Tisha B'Av, three places.
Why is that going to Yotzah?
Oh, so that Yom Hilulah, that's a modern thing. That's and so we don't pass like, not everything the Rambam says we pass like. The Ramos, the Minhag Ashkenaz is not like the Sfardim. But Ramos, v'lo yifne adam levaker ha-mesim. Now, then... El is an extension of Erev Rosh Hashanah, because not everyone has time, Erev Rosh Hashanah, to go to the cemetery, so they go the entire Elul. Now the Rambam, Motzinu b'kesef Mishnah, the Zesim Hashakasav, and he explains, this is what it means, everyone is busy to explain what the Rambam means. Okay, everyone is busy, the Kesef Mishnah, the Rivash, everyone is busy. How could the Rambam say not to go to a cemetery? Because, what's the big problem with the Rambam? It's this week's Parsha. How can you deny what it says in the parasha? It says in the parasha that Kolev went to Kivrei Avos. So the Rambam is better than the Avos. Are there any greater tzaddikim than the Avos? Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And Kolev went to the Kivrei Avos. And the Rambam is telling us now not to go to Kivrei Avos. How can the Rambam say this? What does it mean exactly what the Rambam says? Everyone is very disturbed. So one of the answers, the popular answer, is given by the Radvaz. Radvaz is one of the major commentators on the Rambam. He explains what the Rambam means is, don't open the grave. It seems it was customary. They would bury people in a vaults or in a mausoleums, and they would actually want to see what does the body look like. Okay, so they would actually open, every so often you open up the vault and you open up the coffin to see what's doing. To see what's doing. That is what the Rambam means when the Rambam says, Lo yifne odam levaker kavaros. Levaker means to open the grave. That you don't do. But to go to a cemetery? Of course you should go to a cemetery. No one today, when there's a concept of a nefesh, you don't make a matzeh for tzaddik. No one bisman hazeh is a tzaddik. So everyone today has a matzeva. All the Rambam means, of course you should go every year on the yard site, every so often to visit the keder. But all the Rambam means, don't open up the grave. That's what the Rambam means. Okay, this is, now other mepharshim say, another very popular approach is by the Satna Rav. Satna Rav also dealt with this, Rav Moshe deals with this extensively, and the Satna Rav deals with this Rambam extensively. The Satna Rav says what it means is, you're not supposed to build an ohel. All Rambam means, don't make an ohel. Don't make a Sana has an oil. All the rebbes have oils. That's what he says. So that a building. Now the question is why. So then they all say that it doesn't apply. But Zman said, what's the reason why? So the explanation is because you're not supposed to. It's not supposed to be become a based. A base tefillah. In other words, when you daven, when we daven every day, we daven indoors. Why do we daven indoors? Not to be distracted. When you go to a base hakvaros, a base hakvaros is not meant to be a place where, a permanent place of tefillah. And in fact, many poskim say that because making it to a permanent place of tefillah borders on al tidroish el hanesim. It's a good thing to go to a cemetery to mispal v'kodesh baruch hu. Maybe you want to go to a cemetery and you can pray to the dead, and the dead should intercede on your behalf, should mispal on your behalf. But to make a cemetery, to make a kever into a permanent place of prayer, this according to all opinions, borders on the prohibition of Al Tidrei Shel Hameisim. Once you're going to daven there three tefillas a day, it's going to happen, you're going to down the slippery slope, this tomb is God. This is the koyach. Whatever is in here is the power that's going to bring me salvation. It turns in.
Don't they have shuls by
Yeshivas? Well, today it became a big thing. Like, let me say one thing at a time. But this is the explanation given. The explanation is that you're not allowed Lulvakar Lamesim, what the Rambam means, according to, I don't remember all the names, is don't make a cemetery into a permanent Mokoyim Tzvila, because by doing so, you are, according to all opinions, you're taking away the purpose of this prayer. Prayer is meant to be directed to Kadosh Baruch Hu, not to be directed towards the dead. You're turning the mace, you're being over on Al Tidrei Shel Hameisim. Now you're going to guess why then today you go to Kever Rachel, you go to Machpelah, and they've built buildings around these kvarim. So the answer they give is that you're allowed to go to a Kever to be mispalel, that you are, everyone agrees. And if you're being mispalel, you have to concentrate. If it's out in the open and you're going to be subject to the elements, rain, snow, wind, so it may be years ago in the time of the Rambam, 800 years ago, people were on a high level, it didn't bother them. For going for an hour, 5 minutes, you can fully concentrate. But today we're so spiritually weak, we can't even concentrate for a few moments. Anything that we can do in order to enhance our concentration, to build an enclosure, and to it should be warm and comfortable in order that we can properly daven for a few moments, that would no longer be considered a violation of Al Tidrei Shel Hameisim. Of course, everyone agrees, don't make it into a permanent Mokum Tefila. Now, today it is already a permanent Mokum Tefila, but not for a person. People come there, there are shifts. No one. There are shifts, right? But no one is actually going there, living there full time. You're only there for a short period of time. It's not together, Al Tidrei Shel Hameisim.
There's a minhag, if you go to Lubavitch, the oil does not have a roof.
Yeah.
So it's like a,
uh-huh.
It's like a wall.
It's still called outside that roof. Okay.
The Rivlitzer in Nancy, what they do is, he has like a high wall around his cave.
Yeah.
And one wall is connected to a room for people to daven in, and they get with air conditioning, uh-huh, and heating.
But it's not right and not directly connected.
When you go to Tzfas, one of the problems is there are a lot of caves. And you're saying, so you have people who move into the caves to live there. Right?
Okay, so appears to be a problem. Okay, well, let me just go over some quick things. This is a very controversial topic. What about Kohanim? Are Kohanim allowed to go to Kivrei Tzadikim? Are Kohanim allowed to go to Moris Machpel, to Kivrei Rachel, to Lubavitcher Rebbe? Are they allowed to go? Are you allowed to go?
No problem, because it doesn't have a roof.
It doesn't have a roof, so what? Okay, there's a Gemara. The Gemara says, Kivrei Tzadikim Eino Mitamin. This is a big debate. There are definitely sources, there are definitely traditions where very great people who are Kohanim have gone to Kivrei Tzadikim. And then there are very great people that have come out against them and attacked them with the greatest force. In fact, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch calls any kohen that goes to Kivrei Tzadikim a kohen hedyot. HaKohanim hedyotos, these foolish kohanim that think there's no one, a kever is metame b'meis, kohanim are not allowed to go. However, there is one thing I came across that is very interesting. We have a custom, we go to a cemetery, we wash our hands. You leave a cemetery, why do you wash your hands? You go to a cemetery, wash, what does it accomplish washing your hands? What kind of tumah? Anyway, it's all tumah mason. So what's the purpose of washing your hands? So there's an additional, besides tumah sanes, there's a ruach ra. There is such a thing that to express the belief that kivrei tzadikim eino mitamim, you don't and should not wash your hands when you leave the kever of a tzadik. So you go to the Maris Machpelah. Kohanim should not go. That appears to be, I think, from where we all come from. The group of people here in this room are from a group of people which I can't imagine.
But you can go in. There's a way of going in.
These are new things. Corey, all right. It's not so similar because they have mason all over the place. We know that the whole place chevron is. Can't, it's not still not there? Can't be. We don't know what's good for us. We ought to be aware of that. Maybe, I don't know. But derech klal, you know, kohanim don't go to kivrei tzaddikim. However, being that there is a chazal that kivrei tzaddikim mitamin, the very least, you don't have to wash your hands. And you should not wash your hands. Because by washing your hands, when you come out of a cemetery, of a mokum that is miyuchid, for someone that is acknowledged as being a tzaddik, the avos or kever rochel, or let's say you have a rebbe, you go to your rebbe, whatever the situation is, then there's no ruach tumah. No ruach tumah, you don't have to go and wash your hands from the fountain. Okay, if you have other kavari, then of course, and you have no choice. But let's say you would have a makom that's miyuchad for kibbutz. Let's say you go to Rashbi. Okay, I don't know the situation there, but l'chora, when you go to Rashbi, it's miyuchad only for him. There are no funeral is not kibbutz tzaddikim.
Guys, stop it.
No, there's no. You know, when you talk about kivrei, we're talking about a different caliber. And one other very big issue. So then you're right. I have no choice. We're talking about a situation where you have a miyuchid for kivrei tzaddik, a miyuchid only for one tzaddik. What about Rashbi? We mentioned Rashbi. Rashbi, there, the other mason in that vicinity.
No.
So let's say you go to Rashbi, you go to Meiron, you go back, you have to wash your hands. No. Kivrei tzaddik, not matamin. Can a kohen go to Meiron? You shouldn't go to Meiron. Definitely not. They have a new thing now. They make the kivrei. But there's another very big issue. Is it proper if the Torah says don't a kohen should not go to a kever? Is it really right for kohanim to outsmart the halacha?
To build rooms.
Is that the right thing? Is it right for a kohen to go to a funeral when they'll make a special room? Is that really right? It's a legal loophole. We constructed the chapel in a way where kohanim can go, but the Torah says kohanim shouldn't go to a mace. So is it proper? So sometimes you have no choice. Okay, it's family, it's this and that. But let's say you do have a choice. Is it really within what the Torah really wants? This is the fifth shulchan. Does the Torah really want you to do this? Okay, this is a big debate. Okay, another very important issue. This is a big zahar issue. This guy, this we learned in the parash that Kalev went to kivrei tzaddikim. He was mishatech al the kivros. Going bizman as that to kivrei tzaddikim, is it a reshus or is it a mitzvah? Is there an inyan? Is there a mitzvah to go to the mispalel al kivrei tzaddikim? What would be the mitzvah? Maybe part of the mitzvah of tefillah in the din deraisa that a person has to be mispalel. There are a set of achronim, could be there a rishonim as well. There's a long, long list, a whole chapter on this, who hold that it's a devar rishus. There is anywhere in Shulchan Aruch a mitzvah to go to kivrei tzaddikim. It's a rishus. You want to go? You have nothing better to do? It's definitely better than surfing the web. So go to the kivrei tzaddikim. Is it a mitzvah? It's not a mitzvah. If you're going to learn a daf gemara, better learn a daf gemara. There's no mitzvah. Another collection of poskim can say, no, there is a mitzvah. Lamai nafkamina. Nafkamina is to leave Eretz Yisrael to go to kivrei tzaddikim. Say there are all these tours, right? You can go to Europe. So you know, leaving, it's not so simple. If you're a resident, maybe you live in Chutz Yaretz, so then doesn't stand up. But let's say you're a resident of Eretz Yisrael. It's the halacha lemaisa shaila. You're a resident. You're a toshav of Eretz Yisrael. Every single moment you live in Eretz Yisrael, you're doing a mitzvah. Mitzvah yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So now someone says, I'll give you a free ticket, give you a trip, you can go to the Beis HaKvaros Lezhensk, a tour. You're going to go to Kivrei Tzaddikim. Do you really want to go? Okay, one thing, you're going on vacation, anyway you're going to go. Okay, so instead of going to America, I'll go to Lezhensk. But let's say, I'm not going. I'm going to be in Kollel, but I got a free ticket. It's going to be an opportunity to go to Kivrei Tzaddikim. On the other hand, you're giving up the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. If it's a mitzvah to be mitzvah, then you're allowed to go. There's no shaila, it's a mitzvah, you can go. If it's not a mitzvah, varishus, then who says you're even allowed to go? You, right now you're in Eretz Yisrael, mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, there's no other considerations. Other today, it's the very beginning, they're collecting a lot of money, they're going around now, they're making a big issue of collecting money to preserve kivrei tzadikim. To what degree is a person mechuyav to participate? They just made a big appeal. Harazesim.
They're not conserving. They're building up.
They're building up security. They're doing a lot of different things all over the world. All different locations, they're doing different things. To what degree is a person that has extra money, has makes good parnasa, and he has extra spending money, to what degree is a person mechuyav to participate in these campaigns to preserve kivrei tzadikim? If it's a devar rishus, tzadikim, you know, their words, their svarim, that's their zichrayim. It's not necessary to, you should be very, very careful. If it's the geder mitzvah, then there is indeed an inyan to participate.
That was the Rav Tzuntz, where they that if you print my svarim, I will
be mispalel for you.
Yes.
To go to the kever is another inyan. Okay, but you can't deny the fact that it's a pasuk in Parsha Shalach, that you can't deny. And how far do we go with it?
It's not explicit. It says Vayovai, so we interpret it that he went.
Right.
It's not explicit.
Okay, so this is the topic. With this, we will conclude.